Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him, and He loves us all so much. Again, I'm going to say it again. The Lord told me in 2017 and continually, tell my people my return is imminent, and be ready that they be not left. Now, the Lord's return is upon us. He's going to keep covenant. He's ready to take His people off earth with the rapture. He's ready to rapture His people. And He's going to judge the wicked. Now, when this happens, it's going to come at a time when people don't think it's going to happen. And the Lord is moving. He's been talking to me about the final warning. And He's ready to return. That's just the way it is. And when he returns. It's kind of like when they say ready, hide and seek, ready or not, here I come. So when this is very important, what is the purpose of the Lord coming like a thief in the night? Years ago, the Lord told me, I was pondering Revelation, the things of Revelation that John revealed in the book of Revelation. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, He's looking for sincerity. God is after sincerity. Now, we also know that Paul wrote that He's going to cut this work short in righteousness. Now, some of these things are still a mystery to me, but I know one thing. When the smoke clears, the Lord will have taken the humble off the earth. He will have resisted the proud and given grace to the humble. That's how it's going to end. And see, when Jesus comes back, the wicked, according to Revelation, are preparing to go to war with Him. Now, that doesn't make sense. But see, to the natural mind, it does. Because the natural mind, according to what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 2, it's an enmity with God. So the natural mind can be persuaded against God. And so it shouldn't be so alarming that the Lord said this. He said, I want to show you this before I go to Revelation. He said, verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Unto our glory. Because he honors those that are humble, that love Him, that are sincere, they sincerely love Him. So the hidden wisdom is given to them. Jesus, he's told His disciples, many prophets and kings wanted to know, see what you see, and they didn't see it. And hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it. He's talking to His people. And they were just sincere, see. Okay, verse 8, which none of the, I'm going to read verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Satan didn't know, and his whole kingdom was in the dark about the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See, the whole world is judged already. They say, you judging me, pointing out what we do. You already judged. We're trying to get you out of the judgment. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So with that being said, the natural man, you know, is at enmity with the carnal man is at enmity with the things of God. This is important to understand, because the Word of God is spiritually discerned, and it gives us spiritual hope. It includes us in the plan of God. We include ourselves as we receive Jesus Christ. And we and people exclude themselves when they love the world system. It's important to love what God loves and love what's right. Now, the Lord also talked about a new heaven and a new earth, something that hadn't been done before. And the whole heaven itself will be sinless. The whole kingdom of God is going to be sinless. It's a sinless kingdom. All the war, what brings war, is going to be put away. Everybody who got raptures, they are very sincere about the Lord their God. One scripture said that they that are the strong will be like the weak will be like David, and the strong will be like God. That day is here. People who love God, no matter what, they'll be strong and do exploits according to what Daniel said. But they that love the world are different. People that love the world system, they're in enmity with God. And they can't love God. They love the world. John pointed out that friendship with the world is enmity against God. So the wicked are preparing to go to war with God. And they don't want God in their thinking, just like the first generation did in Romans chapter 1. They didn't want God in their thinking. They were upset that the people of God still existed. They loved the demonic way. In the flood of Noah, because of the abominations, the giants, and the hearts of men had become so callous that they only thought of, they loved violence continually and lust. So all these things are happening, and the enemy wants he's rallying people who love the world, and the world is going to love the world, and that's what's going to happen. And the Lord is selecting his people out of it. He said, through the years, ever since 2017, the Lord's been giving me information about these things. And one thing he said, that not one mistake will be made. And people don't know it, but the Lord is moving by his Spirit. He's rescuing people that love him, and those that love the world, their hearts are going to harden. They always harden their heart. And that's just how it is. Now look at this. This is Revelation 17. Let me see where should I start. Verse 11. The beast that was and is not, even he is of the eighth, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, that goeth in and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, and the king and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. See, the people that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We're going to be in this war too. We're going to come back with Jesus to fight with him. But see, verse 14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb. They're going to try to kill the residue of Israel and anybody that don't agree with them. And Jesus is going to come. I was amazed to, I was watching something on Roku. I forgot the story itself, but it was concerning aliens and UFOs and things like that. But in the discourse of it all, there were presidents that, well-known presidents, George Bush was one of them, Senior Bush. They had this meeting where I would rather have my facts all together, but I saw this. They was trying to figure out how to make Jesus come back. I didn't think people would try something like that. Now, according to what this guy in this report said, it looked credible, you know, but this documentary was done. And they had discussions about how to get Jesus to come back. Now, the world system wants to make war with him. Now, I said, this is that. Psalms 1 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, and I'm looking at this. I stopped watching it because I just got tired of, you know, you can't do nothing about what other people decide to do with their time. But why would a person want to make war with Jesus? I don't know what their intentions were, but there's a lot of government things. There's a lot of conspiracies going on, and I get that. But guess what? Some of them are real. And, you know, they've been disclosing UFOs, and they're doing it at a slow rate. They started doing this around 2017, I guess. And they got all kind of ancient alien shows. Just like I taught in our covenant week, the war started before God made Adam. The earth was made void and desolate before God made Adam. So if the enemy has taking a third of the angels, don't you understand they're going to try to fight with him on his side? And Paul pointed out that there are celestial beings such as angels and terrestrial beings such as man, and then those, the pre-flood world, they were terrestrial too. So because it said the giants were like those of old, though they were men of renown like those of old. So why wouldn't whatever Satan deceived fight with him? And now the Lord gave me information about the 10 nations. 10 kings are going to be in league with Satan, as it says in chapter 11, I guess, and the beast that was and is not, he is, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven that goes into position. Now watch this, verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom, which has received no kingdom as yet. Now when that's as yet, it's when John gave the revelation, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So, I don't understand what that 1 hour is. Is when are they going to make league in at the last hour or the last segment of time? Remember John sealed this, so it's important to understand that it's sealed. I'm not trying to figure. I'm just giving what I see. Then it says, verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. All right, now, I did a broadcast a few months ago. It was still hot. It was last summer, so, or at the end of it. The kingdom of the world, Satan uses lies to rally these 10 kings. Now, some people say it's 10 nations. You have to be, you know, a king is a king over a nation in our understanding. And some people say it is 10 regions, you know, and that can include more than one nation. I don't know how that works. I don't really care. I just know this is going to happen. There's going to be 10 kings controlling these nations or regions, however it is. Whatever Satan could tempt away. But this is the thing. The Lord showed me that these 10 kings, they are not alike in their way and in their thinking process. One king might, you know, the enemy uses different lies to seduce different people. So let's say a strong nation, the enemy might tempt him that you're going to be king of the whole world. You're going to get to run the whole show. All you have to do is bow down and worship me and I'll give you whatever you want. And he'll go for it. And then, you know, the average man don't live but 70 years to maybe 80 years, sometimes 100. But then he's going to die. But he's so focused on power that he's mad. He's crazy. Just like Hitler. So when you're around 50, 60 years old, you need to think about your future because you're running out of time. And I'm 58, but I'm not running out of time because I'm going to live forever. I don't care. You know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm motivated to live because I can. I have a daughter with special needs. And I have an anointing that I want to use on earth a very long time. So those are my three reasons for being. You know, I love my family. And I'm anointed. And I want to be here with my beautiful wife and daughters and son. And I want to be able to see my grandchildren one day. And I want to keep doing everything I'm doing. I want to live in good health. I'm believing God for all of that. So I'm motivated to live. But guess what? When the rapture comes, I'm going to be with Jesus. I win. If something happened and I die, to live as Christ, to die as gain. I would rather live as long as I can till Jesus come. Once Jesus come, I don't want to be here anyway. So I'm good. But these evil men, they have no hope. They have false hope. And they give all they have to vainglory, satanic glory. Now, one king might be he may assume that he's going to be the one running all the whole show. And he's going to have all his dreams are going to come true and whatever he wants, he's going to get. But he's in league with Satan and he really believe all the fluffy lies that Satan told. Satan don't care about his soul, what happened to him or what he get. But he'll tell him he can have it. And he'll give him something that'll just make him believe it. Then there's another nation. They may not care about power as much as the first one I mentioned. But that thing is, they don't want to go to war. And they'll just go along to get along. And they'll join this league. And that assures that their people don't have to go to war. They don't love God. And they love that. And he's going to bait them with something. I don't know what, but he'll bait them with something. And it's probably something that's just terribly not good. Like lust and greed, power. All three of those things are madness. You know, vainglory is madness. That kind of power is madness. Now, God is all-powerful. And the glory of God is the love of God. You know, God is looking for people that's sincere, people he can bless, humble people that will contend for the faith. That will do right by their brothers and sisters. They want to see everybody saved. So that's how heaven's going to end up, because that's what God is after. He told me years ago, there's no room for sin in my kingdom, and God is systematically shutting it all down. Everything that's attracted to the devil have a purpose. You know, And remember, he was anointed. He's still anointed. But because he rebelled against his anointing, he's going to help clean up heaven. Everything that's not like God will be attracted to him. And there'll be every day we live, there's less gray area and more hot or cold. The lukewarm are being consumed one way or the other. And it's at their choice. Either if they love God, they'll do it God's way. If they love the world, they're gonna start having a taste and a desire for the things of the world. This is not an accident. This is what's going to happen. I read the scripture just yesterday. Jesus said, "Don't think that I've come to bring peace, but a sword." The mother against the father, and, you know, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. People in your own house, they're going to start taking sides. Every family, people are going to start taking. People are people. They all come to have families and cousins and parents and siblings. But people are going to start taking sides more and more. I said, "Lord, I had questions about how all this was going to work." And the Lord gave me two things of comfort. He said, "Just before my return, people are going to speak whatever's in their heart. Whatever's in their heart is going to come out of their mouth." Another thing he said, just before he come, those that love him, they may not have enough word in their heart, but he said he's gonna use the word in their heart to make them safe, if at all possible. You know, it's up to us whether we put the word in our heart or not and act on it. Some people do, and the foolish virgins didn't do so. But to help us out, because we love our brothers and sisters and cousins and friends, and some of them are kind of wayward. But the Lord said what he would do. Whatever word they receive, he'll use that to light their soul up, to light them up so that they can make sober decisions, so they'll be rapturable. Because he meant what he said. He said, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and be ready that they be not left." See, sometimes people touch the unclean things, and God has to deal with it. Sometimes people cross the line, and they shouldn't. You know, when you watch what you see on TV, what people gravitate to. And, you know, if you know it's wrong, don't do it. Don't touch the unclean thing. And years ago, I thought about something. I said, I like to watch movies. I love TV. I love to watch movies. And because I like to watch movies and shows and TV, I had appetite for it. But I thought about something. I said, what if something's in my blind spot? I don't want to remind God of nothing. I don't want to like anything that's of the world, of Satan, anything Satan-like. I don't want to like it. So I started saying, everything that's not like Jesus got to go. I started hating it. I said, I hate everything that's of Satan. I started saying, everything... I would do all that's in God's heart. And everything that's like Satan, I have no appetite for it. And guess what? That was a time I used to love to watch action movies. I don't care if I ever see another action movie. And there, you know, you like to see the good guy win and the bad guy get it. But if you feed things to yourself, you'll have appetite for it. I don't want to have appetite for anything unclean. I want the things of God only. So I watch shows that are edifying, you know, parables, stuff that's mild. I don't want to see naked women and people getting blowed to pieces. but nevertheless, everything that's of God, I want to do. And I want to be clean. I want to be like him. I can't wait for all this evil stuff to be over with anyway. I don't even like it. And then the times that I would watch action movies years ago, there was no life there. People in discord and strife. I want away from that, you know. But I like some movies like Fast and Furious. You know, they do crazy. You know that stuff is crazy and fake, but it's entertaining. You know, it's just, that's all it's for. That's the you know, people are not really getting killed. But you don't want to lend yourself to crossing any line that shouldn't be crossed. So, and I asked the Lord about TV and movies. He said, it's neither here nor there. This was years ago, because I said, even then I had enough knowledge to think, to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to do nothing that offend you, but what about, he said, it's neither here nor there. That's up to you. But as for a fail-safe, I said, everything that's not like Jesus got to go. That was my personal choice, and I don't tell people what to watch and or do what I do. You do what you want to do. Is, you know when you're crossing the line and when you're not. You know if something gives you a false appetite or not. But Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. And you know that the world system is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the no-nos. Leave it alone. And Galatians 5 lists everything, the first part of Galatians 5 lists everything that's sins of the flesh. But I want to be God conscious, and I want my life to reflect his life. I want everything that I do, say, hear, speak to represent Jesus. I want my whole life to be worship, not just so I can be raptured away. No, I want to live just like Jesus lived as long as I can until he returns. And I don't care if God give me another 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. I just want to be actively obeying. As long as I'm winning souls, and I'm enjoying life now. I'm not going to wait to enjoy the life of God. I enjoy the life of God now. It's too much to be enjoyed. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to die and go to heaven to enjoy God. You can enjoy God every day. Jesus always went and spent time with his Father habitually. He did it every day. He took time out with his Father. And then a crowd would come and interrupt what he was about to go and do. He had to minister to the crowd and go talk to the Father later and get some sleep when he could. So sometimes that's how life is. And I enjoy my time with the Lord. And I'm going to always enjoy my time. I don't have to wait to be raptured to enjoy Jesus. I enjoy Jesus. I want to be around him. I like him when he comes around me. I like when he teaches me things. Now, he said that he talked about the last warning. And this week, he gave me some information about that. He said, the anointing, there's an anointing. It's going to open ears that didn't hear before and open eyes. Now, see if. He said the radio broadcast you do, it's going to open ears that will stop. And then if they humble themselves, God's going to open their eyes so they'll see. He said, but if they reject this anointing, if they reject the knowledge that's given under this anointing, when he come back, he'll leave them where they stand. And he meant it, folks. People that harden their heart when they harden their heart for the world, he's going to harden their heart. He said he'll leave them where they stand. He's not just like Eli's sons. You know, they wouldn't repent because God was going to take them out. He was going to kill them. God is particular about who he lets represent him. If a person loves the world too much and they won't repent, then God remembers something about the Lord. He wish you was hot or cold. When we first met him, he said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the day from the night. The light was over the day, and the night, the darkness was over the night. He divided light and darkness. And guess what Jesus does? He came to bring a sword. And he's going to save those that are really sincere, and those that harden their heart. He's going to leave them where they at. So it's important to. Now, this is justice, folks. Jesus knows what he's doing. When the finished product is a new heaven and a new earth, which means that there'll be no more Satans. All the Satans will be put under his foot. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan's going to be locked up in his hell jail in the bottomless pit. But after that 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed a little while to tempt. After the church is raptured, there will be survivors of the tribulation period when God does the. I believe that it's going to be a real quick thing. God's moving us out of His way so He can begin the vile judgments, and I don't know how long that'll take, and you know it's sealed. I don't know how long it'll take for that to happen, but when Jesus come back, there will be Jews and Gentiles that survive. They're not part of the church because they didn't get saved in time. They got saved after the church was raptured. And they'll still be on earth. That's why it says it'll take 7 months to bury the dead after the war of Ezekiel. The war of Gog and Magog. It's going to take 7 months to bury them. And that's when they'll beat the swords into plowshares. They'll be making farm equipment. They won't need swords anymore. Jesus is going to be reigning. And he's going to be strict. He's going to reign the earth very strict. And there won't be any room for sin. But sin, you know, without Satan stirring up trouble, people will still have passion, you know, for sin because of the sin nature. You still got to believe on Jesus, even though he's your king now. And that's the era of time when Isaiah said that a baby would die at 100 years old. You know, because people will live longer. But there will be an insurrection. Satan will be loose to tempt what he can. And then once that war, the last war of Gog and Magog is over, it's going to be peace forever with the King of Peace. No more war, no more sinners. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Consider these things. Consider the mighty move of God and join in.